Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Exits Closed. I'm Cynthia Poole, and my today is Steve Greenfield, and we're going to talk about the press and politics. So, and Steve is running for Congress as a Green in the 19th District of New York for Congress. So, Steve, how's everything going?
Things are going slowly in my campaign right now and with great difficulty because the media has done a much more aggressive decision not to cover minor party campaigns this year than in earlier efforts. I mean, this has been an issue getting access to the media, getting coverage of campaign events, getting invited to debates is always pretty difficult when you're in a minor party or independent candidate status and when you don't have, you know, Ross Perot's money to spend out of your own pocket to generate public attention, by purchasing it is always a difficult task. And this year I'm finding that it is a much higher barrier has been erected by the media to that, whether it be public media like, you know, WAMC or public television stations or private media, than in any of my previous campaigns. And so I'm actually quite frustrated and hoping that anybody who is listening can use their social media and their ability to write letters to the editor, managing editors and assignment editors at newspapers and television and radio outlets, cable news outlets like Channel 6 to address that and say that the public is demanding their right to know and to not have their access to information about policies being offered by candidates blocked from them while they're deliberating on how to cast their votes this November. I mean, this is one of the most, this is the fundamental, this is the backbone of democracy right here.
Would you say that what's happening to you is happening to third-party candidates across the country?
Yes, it is. I've been, you know, exchanging information on this from other people with other people that are running. I just want to give you, you know, one very specific example that kind of illustrates the problem. A few weeks ago, the host of a public television public affairs broadcast in the 19th district wrote to me asking me if I could confirm my availability for a debate that was tentatively being scheduled for October, mid-October, in late in the cycle and close to election day. And of course, I replied in the affirmative, and he told me he'd get back to me as soon as he heard from other candidates that which date was being selected. And so that all seemed fine until a couple of weeks after that conversation happened, he wrote to me again saying the following: "Hey, Steve, my management is asking me to relay these qualifications to you for the debate. I'm sorry I don't personally agree with them, but apparently your campaign will have to meet these qualifications for the debate." And here they are, and from his management, like people above him. He's not able to make this choice for his own show. And this is, again, public TV, not a ratings-driven advertising-selling outlet. And so here's what I got. "All legally qualified campaigns will be given the opportunity prior to a planned debate to provide evidence of their status as a newsworthy candidate. Among the questions that may be asked of the candidate: does the candidate actively campaign for election to the office across the jurisdiction he or she is seeking to represent? Indicators of an active campaign include creating a legal campaign committee regulated under state or federal law, establishing a campaign headquarters and telephone number staffed by an active staff, paid or volunteer, articulating views on principal issues that affect the electorate by issuing position papers or through an active accessible internet site, making regular personal campaign appearances across the jurisdiction, engaging in active marketing and or advertising efforts, securing financial resources beyond the candidate's own and or engaging in active fundraising activity, participating in routine and sustained contact with news media in the jurisdiction. Does the candidate provide evidence of significant initial voter interest through a sizable volunteer effort or significant turnouts at campaign stops, broad-based financial support, or substantial news coverage? Does the candidate demonstrate factual evidence that would include at least 5% voter preference in an independent poll or receipt of 5% of the total votes cast in the primary election? Does the candidate provide evidence of popular support through service in a state or local elected office during the last 5 years within the candidate's current jurisdiction? Interestingly enough, I can answer yes to that question. Whereas my Republican opponent cannot. Is the candidate a representative of a nationally recognized party, and does the candidate have the financial and logistical backing of that? That is a list of criteria that was sent to this host of his own show, restricting his own ability to extend and to consider anybody's candidacy newsworthy. Note that they specifically used the word prove that you're newsworthy, okay, that their status as a newsworthy candidate. You know, so I wrote back to this person, you know, while I figure out how to respond to this, let me tell you a true story from 2018. I got a call from a pollster. She asked me if I expected to vote in the New York 19th election, and I said yes. She asked me if I was voting for Delgado or for Fazzo, and I told her neither. She said, so you're undecided, and I said, no, I'm not. So she asked me again which I'd be voting for, and I said neither. And she said, well, then I have to put you down as undecided. So I told her, well, you're the lucky caller because I'm a candidate from a major New York party, and I'm on the ballot, not a write-in, and I'm voting for myself. My name is Steve Greenfield, and I'd like you to record that I'm voting for Steve Greenfield. She told me that she couldn't do that. I asked if I could speak to a supervisor, and she said she could not do that. And so that's the closed loop in your within which your management is operating. I can't get 5% in polls because the polls don't include me, and I can't make them include me. So in polls, I register at zero. And because I register at zero, the media, even the public media, won't grant me access to the public. So even if a poll included me, my name would barely be known. So going back, speaking extemporaneously again, to some of their other criteria, obviously I send out press releases and make contact to the media all the time, but they never publish any of it. How can I demonstrate that the media is covering me, which was the second half, right, that I'm getting enough media coverage to be considered newsworthy? Look at what what's the circular logic, right? The circular logic is that I have to demonstrate that the news is covering me in order for the news to cover me, in order to prove that I'm newsworthy. But if I do all the things that you do to get the news to cover you, you know, which is sending them your policy positions, constantly sending press releases, leaving messages for them, and they don't get back to you, and they don't cover your press release, and they don't report on you, then I'm not newsworthy because the news isn't covering me. But that's a decision they make, not me. Like, I can't control the result. All I can control is sending them press releases. If they choose not to cover any of them, then I end up now not being able to certify that I'm newsworthy in order to justify being covered by a news outlet. So there is a completely closed loop. There is completely circular logic in place. I have a national party. In 2016, the Green Party was on the ballot in 46 states. But we are a low-income party. We don't have resources. It's not like we don't have a D triple C. There is no Green triple C. You know, there's no G triple C that can allocate $250,000 for party support for my congressional campaign. That doesn't exist. You know, they are providing press release support, right, and other kinds of institutional support of that nature that doesn't require the allocation of a budget which doesn't exist. But by these criteria, I cannot do that. I have to have a campaign headquarters with someone who is staff, who is answering the phone. That means I have to rent a location. or get someone to agree to have their house listed as the campaign's public address, which would bring them under, you know, if anybody wanted to drive their car by and harass them, they have to answer the phone. I'm not allowed to answer my own phone, even though I get, you know, two calls a week and don't really need to have a staff answering my phone. But that's raised as a barrier. If I don't have an address other than my own, that's the campaign headquarters, then I'm not newsworthy. If I don't have a volunteer or a paid person answering my phone, even though my phone doesn't ring, then I'm not newsworthy. And on and on throughout the entire list. How can I, you know, did I get 5% of the turnout in my primary? Well, I don't have a primary. I'm in the Green Party. So I can't answer in the affirmative to that. The only thing I've got, which is interesting because most candidates don't have this, and obviously you don't need this if you're a major party candidate, which is that, although I'm about to age out of that 5-year window, because my term ended in the summer of 2017, so I guess I've got 2 more years left in their 5-year window. I am a local, you know, elected official, but they don't allow for other expressions of political activity. For example, in small town government administration, most people in government are in appointed positions. You know, the town board appoints 7 people to 20 different committees, you know, the transportation committee, the environmental committee, the planning board, the zoning board. These are important committees where most of the government work takes place, but they're not elected. They're appointed. You know, I'm currently serving in a couple of appointed positions. I'm a delegate to the Ulster County Volunteer Firemen's Association. That is the division of the state firefighting lobby, and I engage in legislative advocacy there. I'm still a citizen member of the New Paltz Central School District Legislative Action Committee, which I chaired when I was on the school board, so that my participation at that level has been in a continuum since 2014, because they kept me on as one of the citizen members because of my institutional memory and my skill at the position. And so even though I'm engaged constantly since, going back to the early 2000s, my first appointed position to the town of New Paltz Transportation and Land Use Committee, which made use of a multi-million-dollar state grant to create, a transportation plan and build-out study under which the town and village of New Paltz are still operating, brings me all the way back to 2003. But that's not sufficient to the news outlets to suggest that I'm a legitimate candidate, that I have the knowledge and the experience to be treated as a legitimate candidate and to create and articulate and potentially deliver policy positions. I further wrote, to this news outlet that, I want to respond to this like a firefighter, and say I have to size up this incident and respond to it, which I can't do. I want to resolve it, but I can't. And it's just kind of mind-boggling, as I said to this outlet, that they're supposed to be public media, that they're on tax money. I'm not supposed to be required to buy access to you. I've been a volunteer firefighter for the last 16 and a half years. You know, I spent most of that day when I was responding to him, I'm referring, that I responded to 15 storm calls out in the pouring rain in a hurricane, protecting the public from downed power lines, and neither my Democrat nor Republican opponents spent any part of their day doing that, but they were able to be at home dialing for dollars in order to meet the requirements you have for someone being treated as a legitimate public service. And I said, and on that basis alone, I should be on your station. I'm an emergency responder. I do not have the luxury of being safe from COVID-19, and I don't get paid. And on that basis alone, I should be on your station. I have held elected office twice for a total of 6 years within this district. Delgado has held office for a year and a half, and Van de Water has never held office. On that basis alone, I should be on your station. I have been arrested 3 times in the last year for direct action in support of the great movements of our time, climate change, and immigrant and minority rights. Last July, I was one of a group of 11 people who closed down ICE headquarters in Washington from noon to closing time. And it was a major event that got national news coverage. And on that basis alone, I should be on your station. A few months ago, Delgado came to SUNY New Paltz, and he repeatedly lied to the audience about fossil fuel donations in his campaign war chest. And for standing up and giving the names of the donors and the amounts, I got arrested. You know, he can be on your station to lie, and I got arrested for telling the truth. And ever since, I've been permanently barred from the campus, even to go on fire calls. And if you can believe such a thing, you know, and I promise arrest should I be found there. That's about to become a First Amendment test case, and I have been defying the order to respond to fire calls. On that basis alone, I should be on your station. But apparently, none of that matters. That I have actual operational ideas for this crisis and the conditions that generated it does not matter. I have to show that I have the approval of capitalism and feed that back by buying my way into the for-profit media with ads in order to meet, you know, the minimum requirements of you as public media. And, you know, this is where we're at. This is where we are, Sophia. The media, whether it's public or private, the institution of the First Amendment and you know, the freedom of the press, if you read the Federalist Papers, you know, where Hamilton and Madison were explaining the function of each of our clauses of the Constitution, the explicit purpose of the First Amendment is to make sure that people know what they need to know to vote. We were told that the purpose of the First Amendment is to prevent this from happening, to prevent politics from becoming inside pool, to prevent the electorate from not having access to the full range of information they need to deliberate on how they want to cast their vote. And here we are in 2020, while the press is out there complaining and whining about how Donald Trump is doing all these things that appear to restrict the press and the institution of the press and the critical function that the press holds in elections, and it's the very bedrock of democracy, and the New York Times with their new slogan about how democracy dies in the darkness because they want people to support them, and yet they are the purveyors of that very darkness. They refuse to cover anybody that is not in the financial loop of paying money to the media, and it is so ensconced in how they do what they do that, as I just read to you off their qualifications list that they sent to me, even public media will not cover a candidate unless that candidate is showing that they're purchasing ads in the private media. Not that we're using any of the modern digital free platforms like social media and other ways we can get our messages out, but they want us to show that we have raised money and used that money to purchase private advertising. And that's a public media outlet in which none of this should be coming into play. So I ask you, what kind of fraud about the First Amendment and the function that it's supposed to be serving in allowing democracy to function? Let's not even use a word like flourish, but, you know, we were always taught, and we all agree, that democracy doesn't exist if the information about people standing for election can't get to the people who have to decide how they want to vote. And now we're seeing in the starkest terms that the media itself is the barrier. They are the barrier. And now with this additional element of information that I just got back, that the incumbent candidate, Delgado, has advised all the institutions that operate debates, you know, League of Women Voters, media outlets, chambers of commerce, et cetera, that he will not attend any debates that have minor party candidates invited to them. And so they likewise are going to feel the same pressures and the same concerns, which is that, look, none of those candidates are likely to win anyway. And in order to keep our prestige, and in order to keep especially institutions like the Chamber of Commerce, which engages in direct lobbying, that's actually all they do is lobby, that they're going to play along with this. And they're going to allow Delgado basically to have a clear and open forum to present himself as the only legitimate candidate, even against a Republican, because the Republican candidate has never been an office holder. You know, whatever other requirements they have, they are basically sanctioning that we have only one legitimate candidate in this district. And Delgado is using the power of his $10 million donations from these right-wing institutions in order to buy the complicity of the Fourth Estate, in order to buy the complicity of the press in not doing the thing that the First Amendment says is the entire reason why we must have a free press in order to have democracy. They're taking the money. They want the money that the major campaigns can offer, and in exchange for that money, they're agreeing to block access to the free press, to the quote-unquote free press, you know, to people who do not have competitive resources to purchase their participation. They're just laying it right out on the line. They're not even afraid that this could get out to the public, that this is the requirement that they've created. And, of course, the reason that they're not afraid that this is going to get out to the public is that just like every other press release I've put out, if I copied and pasted this list into a press release, nobody would print it. And why would they print it? They're the outlets that want the advertising dollars that they know that I don't have the money to pay for them. And why would they, and even without the money element, why would a media outlet publish to their own readers that they are participating in suppressing political information from getting to them, you know, for the election? So they're not going to, so this is perfect. Like, they know they can send me this and not even be embarrassed of what would happen if it got out, because by part of that same closed loop system, it can't get out. It's not going to get out. You know, the Democrats, as we discussed at the time, made an unbelievable, historically repressive attempt earlier this year to not simply block my ballot from getting granted, because, you know, that's routine. They do that every time I run. But they actually brought a lawsuit against the New York State Board of Elections, asking a judge to block the New York State Board of Elections from performing its function in ruling on the admissibility of my ballot petition.
And who did that?
That was the DNC in Washington. That was not local Democrats. The council, they retained a local council in Albany for purposes of being legally able to file the paperwork. But a law firm of record was in Washington, D.C., and is the House counsel for the Democratic National Committee. So this just was the main Democratic Party, the national party, that was bringing this lawsuit. And I sent that out. I thought this was going to be the most important piece of news at this, you know, at this slow jump moment in the news cycle at which it was being done, in the political news cycle, because no real campaigning was underway by any parties back in March when they were making the attempt to do this. And, you know, I even sent it to right-wing news media. I sent it to Fox. I sent it to, you know, Murdoch outlets. I sent it to everybody. Nobody covered it. This was the most outrageous thing in the history of ballot suppression, to actually try to stop a state government board of elections from performing its mandated function of ruling whether the requirements for getting on the ballot, enough signatures, everything, had been met. And nobody wanted to cover it. So they know that, you know, just like the DNC did not have to be afraid of what they were trying to do, getting out in public and causing them embarrassment, once again, we've got another instance of the exact same thing happening. They are emboldened to flip me off like this, and to flip off the voters, and to flip off the entire concept of democracy, because they know it's not going to get out. It's not going to be public. It's not going to be, implications aren't going to be discussed. And even if it could get out to a very limited audience, it would not matter, because everybody is really only interested in talking about two things right now, right? Are we going to stop Trump or are we going to stop socialism, right? That's the only political conversation that is happening. And the weird thing is that the media would rather cover whether people are going to be able to stop Trump or whether other people are going to be able to stop socialism in the most redundant fashion, day after day after day after day, than to allow a discussion of, wait a second, neither of these people have any proposals to get us out of the COVID-19 crisis.
Mm.
Like that part of it, even in the major party context, will never be in the press. There is not a single article in the media saying, Antonio Delgado, what's your plan to get this country back on its feet in the absence of a COVID-19 vaccine or cure, and acknowledging that you know there are severe problems right now in the conduct of our lives and the conduct of our finances, and what is your step-by-step program to bring us out of it if we don't develop a vaccine very quickly and need to have some means of survival and emergence out the other side? No one's asking Kyle Vandewater on the Republican side, what's your plan? You know, all they know is that, you know, he wants to stop socialism. And, you know, and if we elect Democrats, then if Biden wins, then America as we know it will cease to exist. Right. And Delgado on the other side of that coin, you know, is kind of running with his version of that same package, right? You know, only by electing Democrats can we stop Trump. The disservice, the refusal of the press to perform its Federalist Papers mandate to be, you know, the unbiased and unfettered organ through which information about participating in democracy is brought to the citizenry, so that they may exercise their right to vote and be self-governing. The refusal of the press, the private press, the public press, the entire press, to actually perform this function, while they raise the smoke and mirrors that somehow we have to be afraid that Donald Trump is attacking the institution of the press. The institution of the press has been destroyed by the press. Right? This email I've got is the all of the evidence that anyone needs to understand that as someone here who's now serving as an advisory capacity to my campaign, a black civil rights activist and history teacher at the New Paltz School District High School level, who's developing some very wide regard for his activity, as he said to the high school graduation this year, the institutions that you have to examine if there's a gulf, if there's a gap growing between the goals that you have for your institutions and the institutions to which those goals have been assigned. He was explaining that institutions tend over time to develop their own interest and their own momentum, and that
on that note, we have to close. Antonio Delgado to come on the show to talk about the press. And I also want you to give out your contact information so people can help you.
Yes, write to me, email greenfieldforcongress@gmail.com. Go onto my website, which is my full name, Steve Greenfield for Congress. And write to me, read the information on there, send me an email, text me. Maybe together we can work together and create enough of a public scene outdoors with activity, protests of some kind, and get the press and get it out there that the press has closed down the relationship that the public needs to be able to exercise its democratic rights.
Thank you, Steve. You have been listening to All Exits Closed. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and I've been talking to Steve Greenfield, candidate for Congress in the 19th District of New York. Steve, have a great day. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you.
Ha ha ha.